तो विद्यते भावो ना भावो विद्यते सतः उभयो अपि दृष्टोंतस तनन्यस तत्वदर्शिभिः. Translation: those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Text 17. Avinashi tu tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya nakaschit kartum arhati. Translation: that which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Antavanta ime deha nityasyokta shariranaha anashino prameyasya tasmad yujashva bharata. Translation: the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, an eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharata. Text 19. Yainam veti hantaram yaschainam manyate hatam ubhauto na vijanito nayam hanti nalanyate. Translation: neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who... Text 20. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita va nabhuyaha ajo nitya shashvatoyam parano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Translation: for the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Text 21. Veda vinashinam nityam yainam ajam avyayam katam sapurusha parta kam ghatayati hantikam. Translation: O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Text 22. Vasangsi jinani yatha vihaya navani granati nuropadani tata sharirani vihaya jinani anyani samyati navani dehi. Translation: as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Text 23. Nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dahati bhavakaha nachainam kledayanti apo nashoshayati marutaha. The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. 24. Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo shosha evacha nitya sarvakatastanu acholoyam sanatanaha. Translation: this individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Text 25. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchate tasmat evam viditvainam nanushochitum arhasi. Translation: it is said that the soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. Knowing this, you should not grieve for the body. Going back to 15.
Translation: O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Purport. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashrama institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order sannyasa, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyasa order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationships, to give up the connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyasa at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet, for a higher cause, he took sannyasa and was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage.
Well, this is a very wonderful verse. This is a completely different concept. It breaks all the conceptions that people have about life, because they're thinking that the purpose of life is to enjoy, and that they think that that means enjoy things as they happen in this world. But Krishna is saying you should not be concerned with the way things happen in this world. Sometimes they may happen in such a way that brings about happiness on the mundane level. And sometimes they may happen in such a way which brings about stress on the mundane level. But a transcendentalist is not involved in either one. He's neither attached to finding pleasure and trying to increase it, nor is he attached to trying to minimize the misery or the distress. He lets them come as they will, because they'll come as they will anyway. That he's intelligent. He knows. I cannot stop it. It's like going to the sea and saying, I'm going to stop the waves. I'm going to stop the tide. You cannot stop it. Happiness and distress are beyond our ability to change in this material world, because it is under the influence of material energy. Daivihyesha gunamayi. Mama maya duratyaya. It's very difficult to overcome. No one can overcome it. Cannot stop the happiness or the distress. Generally, people like to they like the happiness part, but they don't like the distress. But liking the happiness is just as entangling and binding as not liking the distress. They're the same. If someone doesn't like distress, it means he likes happiness. And if someone likes happiness, it means he doesn't like distress. But a transcendentalist, if they ask him, what do you think about the world situation? Or what do you think about the weather? What do you think about this or that? He doesn't really have much of an opinion. It doesn't mean he couldn't give a Krishna conscious answer. But personally, he's not disturbed. Sometimes when the weather is very hot and the the general public, they ask the devotees, so how do you like the hot? They're expecting that to be a very provocative question and to bring about. And the devotee often says, oh, I didn't notice. And they're shocked. You didn't notice that it was hot? Or they say, how do you like it here in this state? The devotee says, it's okay. Well, which state do you like the most? I say, well, they're okay. Any of them. Wherever I can do devotional service. So for the materialist, this is difficult. They think it's some kind of apathy. They think it's robotism. He's lost his ability to feel and to express. But actually, no. It's just that he is more interested in feeling and expressing on a higher level. On the spiritual level, he's very enthusiastic. So one has to become somewhat unenthusiastic about material affairs if he wants to become enthusiastic about spiritual affairs. They don't both go together. I think in the Bible also it says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. Mammon means sense gratification. You have to choose which one, which side you want to be on. It's not that you can be on both sides. Someone wants to, because they say, servant of all means servant of none. So if someone says, well, I like to serve everyone, all the causes, I'm a humanitarian, I care about everyone. But what happens if you have to make a decision? Then you have to decide what to do. And if Krishna is saying, do this, and all the other people are saying, do something else, what will you do? So that's the point. We have to take a firm stand. Whose side are we going to be on? Because if one is not firmly situated, fixed, then he'll go whatever way the Maya sends. He'll try to avoid distress. Just like someone may not like to go out in devotional dress because people may criticize. Somebody may joke at him or make a remark. Oh, look at you, Baldy. So he may feel embarrassed. And he doesn't want to feel that distress, so he doesn't wear it. Or someone may like to wear devotional dress because maybe he likes to be different, likes to stand out in the crowd, likes to get attention. That's also not a good reason to wear. Neither one are good, and neither one are bad for not wearing. The point is, we do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And if there's happiness or distress attached to that activity, well, it doesn't matter. Sometimes there'll be happiness. Sometimes there'll be distress. One should not be disturbed. This is what it means to be transcendental to the modes of material nature. Transcendental to the mind. Let's say sometimes the mind feels like chanting. Because the mind has three activities. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So today, my mind doesn't feel like chanting. So, what to do? Better not to chant. Because then, I won't cause my mind distress. No. One should chant, not because the mind feels inclined, but because it is the desire of Krishna and the order of the spiritual master. That's why. Whether I feel happiness or not from chanting, doesn't matter. So this is a very important point. One should learn. If he learns this point, that's it. Basically, he's liberated. He never acts according to... He's not swayed by happiness or distress. They don't enter into the formula. It's like if someone says, okay, the spiritual master says, I want you to go door to door, distribute books. And immediately, If one thinks, well, I don't know if this is going to make me happy. So this is, or this may cause me distress. Wait a minute, how hot is it outside, you know? Or, you see what I mean? What is it? So these kinds of considerations means he's still holding on to the material.